name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So I'm going to talk to you about the reading we just heard from the Gospel of Matthew. I do not have any more spycraft to share with you. You'll be disappointed to know. But I would like to talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus, this being the theme of the Gospel of Matthew. So as part of my resolution to becoming a grumpy old man, whenever there's, you get to a certain point, and whenever we discuss the news of the day in my house, which we do, kind of like things about, you know, I generalize some kind of basic social disintegration that's been happening in our culture for a little while, like people doing things which are just incredibly self-destructive and things that alienate them from other people, and people become more lonely and they have less sense of meaning, and they do things which are unhealthy for them, and they're unhealthy for the people around them, and create just general sense of chaos in our lives, which, you know, we do, I mean, it's not all bad, but we do see these things in our culture. Don't want to get specific, we do see them. I have a little shortcut that I tend to say in my grumpy old man way, and that is, people should just go back to church. And what I mean by that, and it's just my own shortcut, because there are years of statistical information that show that, for example, and of course there are exceptions, we're talking about big statistics, right? That show that people who are part of church communities, generally speaking, are physically, psychologically, socially healthier. They're just healthier human beings. They contribute more to the society. They're more likely to volunteer. They're more likely to give their time and money. They're more likely to have positive values. They're less likely to be lonely. They have more friends. Not guaranteed, obviously, but our lifespans are longer. It's just pure science. It's not speculation. It's just pure science. So when I see, you know, I see people go, well, all these destructive things people do, you just want to say, shorthand is, well, just go back to church, right? But that's not the gospel, is it? That's the side effect of the gospel. Those things are all side effects, but they're not the gospel. Or people will say, well, you know, we come to church and we realize that we're saved by grace, not by works. And so we can have this kind of peace in our lives, knowing that we don't have to neurotically, obsessively try to please God all the time. And so we can come to church and we can learn to be at peace with ourselves. And that also is true and it's good. And if these are the things that bring us, like the first things bring us, that's good that brought us here. But the thing about, well, we can be at peace with God because we're not saved by our works, that's also not the gospel. I mean, the 16th century reformers were right to say it, but it's not the gospel. The gospel, and this is Matthew, the gospel is more like this. Say you go on a dating app. Oh, maybe not just a dating app. Maybe you actually meet somebody. Maybe you meet somebody, could be, you meet them at work, you meet them in your social circle, maybe your family has arranged for you to meet, however it happens to be. And you meet this person, and the more you know them, the more, of course this doesn't apply to all of us, because not all of us, you know, get married, and that's, the Anglican Church particularly is very positive about that, but let's say that that happens to us. And the more we're with them, the more we're drawn to them, and the more we don't know why we want to be with them. And the more that happens, the more there's something about them, and the more we realize that we cannot be neutral about them. Right? You get to that point with someone and you realize, I am no longer neutral about this person. I am not neutral about them. And then you, then another realization comes to you that goes, if this goes any further, my life is going to change completely. And if I say yes to this person, nothing in my life is ever going to be the same. I am going to take a, you know, who's it Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it? You're at that fork in the road, right? And you're going, if this goes any further, my entire life is going to be different. Matthew, who wrote this gospel, puts it this way. This is his experience. Of course, he puts it in the third person. He's being kind of coy, right? Puts it in third person. He goes, well, I knew that there was this guy, he says. There was this guy called Matthew, and he was a bad guy. Like, he worked for the Romans. Collected taxes for the Romans. And so he's a bad guy, because that's not a good thing to do, because they're the enemy, and then they always take a little bit on the side anyway. He was a bad guy, and he was just at his tax booth one day. And then this guy, Jesus, walked by, and he looked at Matthew, and he said, you, come and follow me. And Matthew just stood up and went and followed him. That's how that happened. There was just something. Matthew doesn't say what it was about Jesus, but there was something about him where suddenly he knew that Jesus knew who he was and that he had no choice. He was at a fork in the road. Suddenly he had no choice. He felt he had no choice. He had to get up and follow this guy. Or in today's reading, John the Baptist sees Jesus. It's not like, you know, the story of the Father speaks and then the Holy Spirit comes like a dove, etc., etc. It's not like any of this thing wasn't happening from the beginning of creation. The Holy Spirit was always in union with Jesus, and the Father was always speaking to Jesus. This wasn't like so much an event that happened. It's like John saw him for the first time. And when John saw Jesus, who he was for the first time, it's everything changed for him. And as we saw at the beginning, John says to him, you should be, what are we doing here? And Jesus goes, I tell you what's happening is, this is paraphrasing, but we see it in the Gospel of Matthew, is, I tell you what's happening here. I've come to find sinners, and this is where I'm going to find them. At getting baptized for their sins seems like a logical place to go find them. I've come to find them. I love them so much and want to be with them so much that I have come to look for them and decided to affiliate myself with them so that they will affiliate themselves with me. So what's the gospel? The gospel is not a set of ideas, not a set of sociological presuppositions, not a bunch of research. All this is true. What is the gospel? The gospel is a person. The gospel is Jesus Christ. Do we want to know what it's like to live the Beatitudes, which we're going to read in a little bit, Matthew 5? Do you want to know what that's like to live the Beatitudes? Look at Jesus. He is the Beatitudes. Do we want to know what it's like to live the commandments? Look at Jesus. He is the commandments. In fact, in the book of Sirach, it says, it will lead us to say, Jesus is the entirety of Scripture himself, incarnated in himself. Matthew, as I said, is a little bit coy in this respect. The other Gospels tell the same story, except they don't call him Matthew, they call him Levi, which was probably his real name. Matthew, which is the name he gives himself in the third person, as the guy who wrote the Gospel, Matthew means, in Greek, it means student or it means disciple, or it means follower. Matthew is saying, I am the one who got up from the tax booth and I followed. And I'm going to write this for you so that you can get up from your tax booth and you can follow. Because Jesus, here's the thing. Somebody said this and I think it's true. The problem people had with Jesus wasn't that they didn't think the kingdom of God was going to come. Everybody thought the kingdom of God was going to come. The problem is that it was coming now. Right? You're going, yeah, I'm definitely in favor of the kingdom of God someday where everything's going to be right and we're all going to follow God and it's going to be great. He's going, oh no, I didn't mean right now. Like if we could wait for a while, because man, I got some things to do before that. I mean, really, you should see my calendar. But the problem is, people had with Jesus, is that it's coming now. It's like right in front of you, and it's not right in front of you as an idea, it's right in front of you as a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And you're at Yogi Berra's fork in the road at that point, right? And you cannot be neutral. So this is the message of the Gospel of Matthew, which we are about to enter into the year of Matthew. Correct, Rector? We're entering into the year of Matthew. And Matthew has some very particular things that he wants to do with us and he wants to tell us, and that is that he wants us to get up from our tax booth and follow Jesus. Those other things are true. It is better for us. It's absolutely true. It's better for us. It's better for society in every way. All that stuff is completely scientifically proven. And if that's what brings us to church, that's fantastic, because it will give us the chance to meet Jesus. The other stuff is true too. We're not saved by our own works. We're saved by God's kindness. And if that's what brings us here to have that sense of peace, that's also true. And maybe that will bring us to meet Jesus in person, who radically affiliated himself with us so that we would radically affiliate ourselves with him as we see together in baptism. So, I hope it's okay, Rector. I'm going to offer a challenge to your folks here. Is that all right? But the challenge relates to us. The challenge that I have for us who are going to be talking about Matthew this year, and you who are going to be listening, is this. Each week, we will do our best to tell you very specifically what Matthew has to say about what it means to follow Jesus. Very concretely. Not just abstractions, but week by week. And it's our job to do that. Okay so far? Yeah? And it's your job. It's your job to assist with that so that we will learn more and more what it means by the end of this year to have been Jesus' disciples. So this is what we pray for, that all these other gifts will be given to us, but the heart of it all, we will meet Jesus in person and follow him more closely. Let's pray together. Maybe you could repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to seek us and find us. Help us to say yes to you. And help us to follow you as our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.